When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Baxton and I, Stover and Mixon, first and goal from the one. Handoff Joe, right side run. He's in! Touchdown! Hat-trick! Joe Mixon scores! And the Texans celebrate the end zone. And the Battle Red faithful cheer them on here in Arlington.
Oh, they have not left, my friend. They are here. And the lower bowl, it is just filled with red.
33 points on the board for Houston.
You know, Joe has been amazing. He's been somebody who came in and taught guys how to win more, you know, because we won some games last year. But, you know, he taught guys what it takes to get to that bowl, you know. And, you know, we're not there yet, but, you know, we're taking strides. And every team goes through adversity throughout the year, you know. So my message to the team and his as well has been, we hit our adversity. Let's not look back and let's just march forward and, you know, put our best foot forward. And, you know, we know we can play with everybody, but now we got to play four quarters, and once we do that, you know, we'll be able to be a hard team to stop.
Mixon, we'll call it a trade and then a contract extension. It wasn't a free agency signing, but it kind of was. It was in that same part of the calendar. It was a really good pickup. Obviously, it's paid huge dividends. Joe Mixon's going to be on this team for at least another year after this. Well, you know, you never know the running backs. He's under contract for two more years after this one. We'll see where it goes, but he's been awesome this year. He is clearly the only running back they trust right now. And I'm curious, Seth, if you have the same concern I do, that, yeah, Joe Mixon looks real spry right now, and it might have even helped him in terms of just his overall punishment that he's taken, that he actually did miss a few games with that high ankle sprain. Otherwise, he might have had another 25 touches in each of those games, and who knows? I am concerned about the lack of depth at running back right now. They clearly do not trust Dameon Pierce. I think they trust Darya Gumbawale for what he is, which is a spot third down guy and a triage break glass in case of emergency guy. And then after that, they cut J.J. Taylor yesterday. Like, there's, you know, there's
Sean.
I'm concerned about Mixon's workload right now.
Never once this entire season at any point from the first kickoff until now, have we had a discussion about, hey, is it more the offensive line or Mixon that's getting these rushing yards?
Correct.
Hey, anybody could run behind this O-line. Last night, there's so many plays where, okay, it's Mixon making something out of nothing. And that final touchdown, it wasn't horribly blocked, but it was you had three tight ends and extra offensive linemen. It was big, heavy personnel on the goal line. Hey, we're going to line up and we're going to rugby scrum it in there. And they barely got in because Mixon's able to make that drive and that push. Great. Good for that. Good for you. But it's all Mixon. So, yes, I think it's fair to be nervous about it. And yet, I just don't have the mental bandwidth right now to worry about how Mixon might fare physically or how this might affect his contract 2 or 3 years from now. You absolutely 100% need Joe Mixon to stay healthy for the rest of the year. But you don't have a choice. Like, you're going to have to use him. He's the guy that is working right now. The only guy that's working right now.
You got no choice. No, you're absolutely right about that. I'm not super concerned about what 25 and 26 look like. I'm glad he's under contract for both of those years. Was my point in bringing that up, but I am concerned about when you get to, you know, the Chiefs, the Ravens. Like, they've got a schedule coming up, Seth, that not only is they've got a schedule coming up after the bye week, that if Joe Mixon is starting to show some signs of wear and tear, playing three games in 11 days is not going to be the elixir to help him feel a whole lot better heading into January. You know, like, three games that they're going to need him for if they're going to win those games.
Yeah, and I think, too, with look, we saw the obvious benefit of having Nico in the game. And it's tough because a lot of it, look, the screen, I think if Laramie had just been able to stay, Laramie gets
2 yards back.
Illegal man downfield on that 1 yard back. If he had just stayed at the 1 yard, like, and honestly, the depth that Laramie Tunsil was at a lot of times guys might get away with that because it was just an extra yard beyond the line of scrimmage. But it was the problem was he tried to sell the run. He did a good job doing that. But it felt like, yeah, he's trying real hard to fake something that he's not all that good at to begin with.
Yeah.
So he botched it, and he came out too aggressively. That's specifically the reason the rule is in there, to keep the defense from being unfairly baited into playing the run. So it was a very valid penalty. And yet, if he hadn't done it exactly that way, if he had done it the legal way, I think it was still going to be a touchdown. So that's the so you take that 70 yards. And at that point, you've got the touch. You've got the second half called reception that was overturned. That if it's a better pass, yeah, Nico's there. He's open. So, you saw the effect that Nico can have there. But then, especially more so in the first half, some of the easy stuff over the middle, the quick game, you have that. You've got answers to some of the pass rush issues because Nico is there. You just hope that by the time they get that three-game stretch, that it's just more of a high-functioning unit where, yeah, Joe Mixon might get 12 carries in a game and you feel okay about it.
That New England game, man, where he had 13 carries for 102 yards, that's what I like. Now, that was the one game Damian Pierce had a good game in this year, too. I don't think it's a coincidence.
And the other thing, too, is, man, I'm like everybody else. There's a part of me that says, yeah, hey, look, they started off up-tempo. That was working really well. Spread it out a little bit. You know, don't have all these condensed formations. But then when you spread it out a little bit, Juice Scruggs just gets destroyed.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then they decide not to pick up an A-gap blitz.
Right.
Like, all these idiotic, stupid things.
Yeah.
High school-level BS.
Right.
It's a mess. Look, Juice Scruggs is going to get beat physically every now and then. These inane pass protection mental errors are so frustrating.
Yep.
And you just can't trust them.
All right, so the Laremy Tunsil play you were talking about, Seth, the illegal man downfield on the very first play, on the very first play of the game for the Texans that negated a 77-yard touchdown. It's interesting, on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans, back-to-back texts, that was a ticky-tack call on Tunsil on the first play. That's text number one. The follow-up from a different texter, very, very next text. Guys, do you have Andre Ware after the Nico Collins touchdown was called back?
You know, and I know, I think D'Amico was upset about that call too. I wasn't at all. Laremy Tunsil himself, he almost used to never even acknowledge that he should have gotten penalized. He looked as guilty. He looked like a golden retriever that got caught eating the brownies.
I like
on
that.
The table.
He was kind of like taking it to heart.
Yeah. Like, he knew immediately, oh, crap, that's
messed
on
up.
Me. And it didn't look like he was angry or anything. That was, I mean, it's textbook. If you put yourself, I was surprised that D'Amico thought it was ticky-tack. Because if he's a linebacker and he sees the tackle move that way, he's like, oh, yeah, that's why the rule exists.
He'd have been pissed.
That's unfair.
Yep.
No, he's dead. That was illegal. Yeah.
Here is the call that the texter is asking. I've not heard this yet, so I'm looking forward to listening to this. We know Andre went nuts on Titus Howard last week for the play where Titus strip-sacked his own quarterback and was standing around after he thought he had finished his block. Here is Andre Ware, Texans color commentator, after that very first play that was called back because of a Laremy Tunsil penalty.
Day hits Nico left side, and he navigates his way across the 30, 45, 50. He's still going. The 40, the 30, the 20, 10, 5. Touchdown. There's a flag down.
It's coming back.
Oh, my.
For a hold. Oh, my goodness. What a way to start a game and then have it erased. My goodness. What a weapon Nico Collins is. And he has been missed.
What an eligible man downfield against the offense, number 78.
Oh, my God.
It's a 5-yard penalty. Replay. First down.
Know the play coming into the game. You know what it is. There is absolutely no reason to have that happen.
It wipes out a huge play for the Texans. That was 77 yards erased. And it didn't need to happen that way.
No, you know the play that's coming all week long. That's been the play in practice.
That
boy, Aikman, dude. The two quarterbacks watching that play, that's immediately what they went to.
Dude.
That's the scripted play. You knew you were going to start with that play. How do you screw up the one thing we worked on?
These tackles are going to kill Andre Ware. They're going to kill our friend Andre Ware, these two tackles, Tytus Howard and Laremy Tunsil.
It feels like the old, that Will Ferrell, Sherry O'Terry perfect cheer, where, the, you know, like, we've got the perfect cheer, and you botch the perfect cheer.
Botch it.
You're all
set
to go.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Ware does not suffer these penalties lightly.
No, I feel
like they're taking years off his life.
Yeah, man, yeah. Hey, while we're kind of doing some pettycast leftovers here, here was J.J. Watt on the Manning cast last night. If you missed it, the stadium, AT&T Stadium, game was supposed to be played with the roof open. Unfortunately, the Cowboys opened the roof of the stadium during the day, and some wind blew a large piece of sheet metal onto the, I can't believe I'm saying this.
Was it a hurricane, Sean?
No, it was just wind. It was just wind.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Your garden variety November afternoon wind blew through.
Oh, okay. Because it's funny, because NRG Stadium, actually, they had some damage from a hurricane.
From a hurricane, yeah. No, this was
a hurricane.
It was a stiff breeze.
They didn't almost murder anybody the way Jerry Jones almost committed negligent homicide.
Right.
Homicide yesterday.
So
that piece of, yeah.
Sheet metal blowing down onto the field. Now, it happened before the game. It didn't hit anybody, fortunately.
It came within 3 feet of a Texan staffer.
But it didn't hit anybody. But you're right. It was a very scary situation. Here's J.J. Watt on the Manning cast taking a shot at the Cowboys in their janky-ass stadium.
From that, it's not a bad thing.
That crowd shot in Dallas kind of says it all right there. They're either left to avoid the falling ceiling panels or the game's not going too well. And
Five games in a row at home that they've been down at some point by more than 20 points. That's not good. I think going six if you go back to the playoffs last year.
All right. Thank you, Eli. We appreciate that.
Thank you for the stat nugget, Eli.
That was good.
I haven't watched the Manning cast much at all. But does Eli now have like nice little stat nuggets that he can
throw
out? Is that a thing he does now?
I don't watch. I watch the main broadcast. I don't watch the Manning cast either. It's no disrespect to the Mannings. I just like.
Right. No, it's not my deal. I would listen to the Manning cast as a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like some of the conversations they have, but when it comes to like really being dialed in on the game, it's hard sometimes.
Yep.
The fact that stadium was falling apart in a game where there were more Texans fans than Cowboys fans possibly, and the Cowboys have yet to win a game at home. You've got a lame duck head coach on the sideline. You've got a redheaded quarterback again. Like, I just, Jerry Jones and his fetish for redheaded quarterbacks, I don't get it. It's just his thing. He's into paternity suits and redheaded QBs.
That's his deal,
That's his kink, okay?
Yep, that's his deal. That's his deal. Not only, they're not just 0-5. They're 0-5 by an average of 24 points. Like, the Texans literally took care of the same business that everybody else has. The Cowboys came into that game last night 0-4, losing by an average of 23.7 points per game. What did the Texans do? They came in and beat them by 24. That's what teams do when they go to Jerry World now, and the Texans took care of that business. All right, sign of success from that game last night came this morning on television. To me, the perception, the biggest sign of success for the Texans last night, we'll tell you what that is coming up next.